On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, it's the baseball regular season finale, softball starts their NCAA tournament run, and football welcomes a new face. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 158 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And happy weekend, Gamecocks. Happy Friday if you're listening to it then. It's going to be a good weekend. It is my birthday weekend, your boy's birthday weekend here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the well wishes. I know you're saying that, probably singing happy birthday wherever you're listening right now, so I really appreciate it. But nah, just another year older and another year further away from being in college, which is sad. But you know what? Forever to thee, right? The memories are forever. Shout out Bates House. But really all I want for my birthday this weekend is just some Carolina wins. I just want some Carolina wins, and maybe for you all to help spread the word about the pod. If you could go and rate the podcast wherever you listen it to, 5 stars, 4 stars, hopefully nothing less, and just tell one person, tell one Gamecock fan about the show. Hey, I like to listen to this guy. He's pretty good. He's not too much of an ass. And spread the word. Let's grow together. It's going to take a village, but do got a lot to preview with y'all. It's going to be a busy weekend for us here, but before I do, I have my handy-dandy Gamecock trivia calendar. It's actually a fact today, so it has facts and trivia. So here we go. Today's fact is, from 2017 to 2020, the South Carolina softball team ended each season with a spot in the NFCA coaches poll. This marked the first time in a 4-year streak occurred since the inception of the rankings back in 95. Huh? That is a cool fact. Shout out our softball team. We've been talking a lot about softball lately. That's very fitting. Very cool. So shout out to the softball team. So let me look back at this past week in review, bring y'all up to speed on any news that has gone on, and then we will spend the rest of this episode talking about baseball as they are in the regular season finale. So here we go. So Thursday, as I am recording this, men's tennis is playing Texas in the NCAA tournament quarterfinals. Now, you'll remember it was the last time they made this round since like 89 or something like that. So it was a very historic moment. So sending nothing but good vibes and good thoughts to the men's tennis team as they look to make even more history against Texas. Horns down. Just horns down big time. And then on Friday, you will have softball starting their NCAA tournament run in the Tallahassee Regionals. So the first game is going to be Friday against UCF. And then on Saturday, they're going to play either Florida State or Marist, depending on how things shake out there. But I mean, we know how they ended that NCAA tournament, the SEC tournament. There we go. So hopefully they can carry some of that momentum into the NCAA tournament. So sending nothing but good vibes to the softball team there. And then we did get a bit of news from the football team. Shane Beamer, the man just does not rest. I mean, he's on the Welcome Home Tour. He's in the Low Country. Then he's like up in Greenville. Then he's picking up transfers. He's getting recruits. The man just does not quit. Absolutely love him. So cool. But yes, the team did get a transfer commitment from offensive lineman Nigawan Mansell. He goes by Knee. So Nemancil coming from Mercer, he's going to be a preferred walk-on. So basically what that means is he's not getting a scholarship, but it is basically a guaranteed roster spot. Or, you know, you're going to get the roster spot as if you were a scholarship athlete, but obviously you're not getting the money to come here. We've had a few of those lately, but Nee is 6'3", 270 pounds, and originally from South Carolina. So you're seeing this really cool trend where, I don't know if it's intentional or not, but Shane Beamer has brought in a couple of transfers who have ties to the state, bringing them back home. I mean, I think anytime you can fill a locker room as the flagship university with guys from that state, I think it only helps, because there is that little bit of an X factor, more than a little bit, of playing for a state university, representing your state, playing in front of your family, friends. So I don't know if this is a conscious effort or not, if it's a nice bonus, but Shane Beamer has brought a couple of transfers in from the state who were there originally. Now, Nee has played in 20 games over the last couple of seasons, and this is just a good depth addition. You know, we talked about Jax the other day, sort of a similar deal. Offensive lineman coming in, going to provide some depth, and you just cannot have enough depth up front. And then if you couple that with someone who has played at the collegiate level, can bring some experience to the room, especially as Shane Beamer is building up that offensive line, it's going to be young soon. A lot of talent, but it's going to be young. So if you can bring in some guys to help bring a couple of these guys along, mentor them a little bit, teach them how to watch the film and things like that in their spare time, it's only a net positive. So welcome home, Nemancil. Love it. So with that being said, that was the news from the week. So going to turn my attention here to the baseball team. And yeah, we're here, y'all. We are here. It's crazy to say that it is the last week of the regular season. And what a roller coaster ride it has been. I mean, never a dull moment. Never a dull moment as a South Carolina fan. Doesn't matter what sport. Truly doesn't really matter what sport. It's a roller coaster ride. And it's fun. You don't want to get off because it's a fun ride, but it's a up and down nonetheless. And that ride was certainly on display Tuesday night in the midweek game as Carolina lost to Charlotte 11-9. And I mean, that's just, it's not exactly the note you want to end the midweek games on. Now, generally speaking, Carolina has done well in the midweek games, especially compared to last year. We saw them struggle at times. So I don't think this is an indictment on, like, oh my God, like just another midweek game loss. Like, no, the team played well in the midweeks for the most part this year. Couple of bad losses, but that's baseball, right? But it was just a game that you really wanted to have. And this whole week, I'm going to get into it in a little bit about this weekend series, but this whole week is about building momentum. And I know we had a couple of guys back last series. It just felt like this game against Charlotte, coming home, more healthy than you have been for the last few weeks, felt like a time to really kick it up a notch and to turn that back on, to get the momentum back on our side. You heard the broadcasters talking about that. It just didn't happen. And it's okay. You know, you got a chance for redemption, a big chance at redemption this weekend, but this whole week, the name of the game needed to be momentum, and they did not secure that Tuesday night. But things did start off great, right? I mean, the guy scored 4 runs in the first inning thanks to a 3-run home run by Cole Messina, the Moose. And at that point, you know, the vibes were up. You know, lineup was kind of back to full strength or darn near close to it. Felt like this was the start of a huge game and was the time to get momentum back on our corner, and the vibes were up until they weren't. Charlotte scored 2 runs in the third, 1 in the fourth, 3 in the fifth, and 1 in the sixth. Conversely, those middle innings were just tough sledding for Carolina. The guys on the mound could just, they just couldn't finish innings. They couldn't end the rally. And then offensively, it was like a desert for base runners, it felt like. Felt like the freaking Sahara. Guys were just, were not stringing them together. You know, maybe you get a guy on here and there. But if they did, nothing was manufactured from it. And it was just weird because it was the opposite of what we saw in the first inning, where you got a couple of guys on, moved over, got the big knock. Carolina did tie things in the seventh thanks to a two-run Talmadge LeCroy homer. And, you know, credit where credit's due, right? You know, the guys did not roll over. They were down, but they were not out, right? They fought back. They clawed, tied it up late in the game. You thought that this was it. Like, okay, now we're going to take over. Top of the eighth, Charlotte tags Chris Veach for four runs, and that's all she wrote. Will McGillis, on top of it, seemed to re-aggravate his arm, was taken out of the game early. Mark Kingston confirmed he did not re-break his arm, but it's going to take some rest. So one step forward, two steps back with him. Some player highlights from the game here. Cole Messina, 1-for-3 with 3 RBI. Dylan Brewer, 1-for-2 with 2 RBI. And Talmadge LeCroy, 2-for-5 with 3 ribbies. So up next for the Gamecocks, it is the regular season series finale at home against Tennessee. Now, this series was supposed to start Thursday. So it was going to be one of those deals where I'm talking about it and you'd be listening and you'd already have a game after and you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about? But because of weather, they will play a doubleheader on Friday. Happy birthday to me. And wrap things up on Saturday. So your pitching rotation is as follows. Eli Jones is going game one, and then TBA for game two, and TBA for game three. Now, those TBAs were likely because of the original scheduling of the games being on a Thursday, shorter rests, questionable weather, all that jazz. I would imagine now that they have a firmer idea of that, plus that extra day of rest, I would imagine it's going to be Jones, Mahoney, Becker in that order. But who knows? And then obviously, there is no Will Sanders listed there, right? Mark Kingston said he is still banged up. He hopes to have him back in a week or so, maybe two. I don't know. Just like, what are we doing here? Like, you know, I mean, injuries happen, life happens, but what's going on here? Really? You know, it's just, I don't know. It just really, really stinks. Just the only thing I could say, like, what are we doing here? Like, we need our guy back. Need him back. I know we got some more games after this weekend, but man, he needs to get back, needs to get healthy. We need him 100%. So, what is South Carolina getting in Tennessee? Currently, Tennessee is ranked 18th in the country with a 36-17 overall record, and they are 14-13 in conference. I was low-key surprised to see that they are not at 15 wins yet in conference. I was still kind of working on the assumption, like last year, remember they had that amazing team that just kind of collapsed in the postseason. But nevertheless, they did have a rough start to SEC play this year, but have turned it on for the last month, basically. So for those keeping track at home, that's sort of the opposite trend as Carolina, right? Where we started off super hot and it's been tough sledding the last month. Tennessee, sort of the inverse of that. Now, the Vols are dealing with some injuries as well, but they are a team generally built on some power arms, like to try and overpower you, and a team that really likes to string hits together, extend rallies offensively, move guys over, and get to you that way. But what is at stake for Carolina here, right? This team has hit the 15-win benchmark for SEC wins. And if you'll remember back to my pregame episode, or preseason episode rather, with Evan from Tito's and Chicken, you know, we talked about that. That this team has to hit that benchmark. There was the stat put up during the midweek game SEC teams that hit 15 league wins make the NCAA tournament like 78% of the time. So that's the benchmark. And we've done that with room to spare. So that's good, right? So you feel good about, you can feel good about the chances of seeing the postseason. Albeit hosting a regional is up in the air slash maybe slipping through our fingers. And compared to last season, you were really desperate for some wins in that last series and hoping to make a run in the SEC tournament to just to make a regionals. That's not the case this year. But the team is in big, big need of a good series to build momentum back up so that way you can enter the SEC tournament and regionals with as much confidence as possible. And then if you do well enough this weekend and in the conference tournament, maybe you do end up hosting a regionals after all. So to me, you know, this series is just about getting right. Obviously, that comes with wins, right? But it's about getting right, getting confidence back. Last series, yes, it was nice to have those guys back from injuries, feel a little bit back to normal. But now that the team has been home, in theory, you'll have guys ramped up back in their routines and whatnot. Now is the time to perform. You know, they saw some live pitching, SEC pitching, all that jazz. You're back home. You've played well at home this year. Now is the time to perform. So if the Gamecocks can win this series against a hot SEC team, I think the entire attitude in and around the team will shift back to this mentality of, hey, we're good, we know we're good, and we can beat anybody. Which, frankly, I think this team has struggled to find that mentality these last couple of weeks, last month. You got different guys hurt, pressure builds, seasons coming to a close, rankings drop. Probably not a conscious change. You know, I believe that everyone in that dugout still believes they can win and believes they're a good team. They are a good team. But just felt like that edge maybe was missing. So this is a big series. You know, you don't want to be limping, literally and metaphorically in our case, into the SEC tournament and beyond. You need to be playing good baseball with confidence, period. Early in the year, you know, it felt like this team had revenge on their mind. Revenge for saying, we're not going to let what happened last year define us. We need to see that again. Because yes, was it a better year this year? Of course it was. Of course it was. Like I just said, you hit 15 wins in the SEC, guaranteed a winning record in the SEC with room to spare. It was a very fun year. Beat your rivals. A lot of fun this year. That's not helping this series right here, right? It's not going to help you next week, beyond next week. Revenge needs to be now. Revenge needs to not just be being a little bit better than last year. It needs to be revenge for any disrespect that they might feel. And say, yeah, we can get to regionals. We can get to super regionals. We can get to Omaha. That's what it needs to be again. And I still think it's in there. We just need to see it. We need to feel it. So my crow to the series here, you know, I thought about this one for a while. It's a pretty generic one, honestly. Really, I just wanted to say just win, right? But I've said that a few times. I'm honestly just going to say get on base. He gets on base, right? Like that quote from Moneyball. Last game against Charlotte, there was that bad stretch where that was not the case, and look what happened. For the most part of the year, you know, guys have been pretty good at the plate with getting on base, not just from hits, but they've been good at generating walks too. We need as many base runners as we can get this weekend. Let's flood the bases, drive some guys in, get our groove back, and head into the SEC tournament like the team that we know we are, and let's go kick some ass. Let's go. Huge weekend. huge series. You win this series against Tennessee the last 3 weeks plus, kind of fade away. If you can handle your business convincingly and you get a nice seed in the SEC tournament and guys look good, the defense is sharp, guys are getting on base, they're getting driven in, pitching performs well, doesn't have to be lights out, but performs well, and guys look more settled in, like a Lecor, like a Wimmer, they're moving good, they're swinging the bat well, that changes everything. Have to have a good series this weekend. Have to end on a high note. For anyone in Founders Park, send me some pictures. I'm going to be incredibly jealous. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.